These are the Paddy Replacement Tapes Part 1, first edition. So, hi, Ernie, was it?
Hello.
Ernie, welcome. So you
My
know
name
this
is Ernie.
Yeah, thanks, Ernie. So you know that this is a... just to see, I'm looking for someone to replace Paddy because he's not come back from Edinburgh still, so... What have you got for me, man? Wow, why could you be better?
I love snakes.
You like snakes?
I love snakes.
What do you like about
snakey,
snakes?
Snakey, snakey snakes.
Yep.
I like how they slither.
Okay. Yes. What's your favourite snake?
A cobra.
Why?
Because they are very fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, is that all you've got? You got any other jokes you can try out on me?
I anacud. Anacudda.
Right, yeah. That doesn't really work, does it, Ernie?
And Ernie.
Ernie. Yeah.
Just how about you come round my house and we'll eat lots and lots of pies in a row.
Right.
And it'll be like a marapython. Python.
All right.
My favourite
Ernie,
Monty Python.
No, we're done.
Snakes.
We're done.
I love snakes.
Paddy, replacement part two. Hi, mate. So good to have you along.
Woo!
I see you bought your
Woo!
Own pillow.
Woo!
Okay.
Woo!
You're right.
Woo! Woo! Woo!
Get out. Get out. Alright, audition number 17. Alright, what's your name?
Jessica.
Jessica
Todger.
What a lovely young lady you are, Jessica.
Jessica L. Todger.
Brilliant. Okay,
the
well,
L
I'm going to skip the chase.
Life.
I'm going to skip the chase. That's lovely. So what we need for the show is bits. We're running out of material all the time. What have you got? Have you got anything you can run through us? A little routine?
I've got a pre-prepared
jokes?
Piece that I wrote
oh,
that
brilliant.
I think will be perfect for the podcast.
As long as it's not a spoken word, eh?
Not at all. 9/11 was an inside job by Jessica L. Todger.
Right.
Osama bin Laden, more like Obama's bin Lion, to us.
Okay, that's enough of that. You are not coming on this podcast.
But I've got...
Audition 25. Hello, mate. So welcome. Thanks for coming in short notice. Good to have you here. Is there anything I can tell you about the job? Is there any, maybe...
Actually, I have some questions for you.
Yes.
Question
okay.
number one.
Okay.
Do we fuck now or later?
I mean, neither, please.
I think now. I'm convinced it's now. I'll tell you what. Hang on. You just sit there. Sit tight. Yep. Lovely.
Oh, put it away! Oh, God, no! Audition 52. Well, look, I've got to say it. Your CV's brilliant. It's been really nice to meet you. I think we might have
Thanks.
A good match. It's really good to have you, man.
I'm really glad.
It's been
a pleasure to be on board and to meet you finally, because I'm a massive fan of the show, and I can't
brilliant.
Tell you how happy I am to be here. I'm in a cult.
It's been a long day. Did you? No, it's been a really long day, mate, anyway.
I know.
I'm
of other stuff to do.
No, I'm really glad to have
whenever,
you.
Whenever I can start, just call me. You've got my
yeah,
number. You've
I will.
Got my number.
You
big cult. Big cult. Big cult.
Sorry, you're talking about a cult?
No!
You say something about
I've got nothing else going on. I'm free.
Okay.
I'm free. And when,
okay, good. No,
whenever
I thought
you
mentioned...
And also, I know that there's this sort of changeover period. So
yeah.
I don't think it's troublesome. Big,
awkward.
Big cult. White power. Love white power. Love whites.
Okay.
You're right. You're,
yeah,
you,
no,
you
no.
Seem
no
a little,
it's just...
Don't worry. Look, I'm sure
I'm
you've had it.
About...
Like, how about, look. Like, yeah. I could go... Get some coffees
okay.
or something like that, and we could go over the contract
Brilliant.
Later.
Okay, that
on.
Sounds
big
perfect.
Cult, just
I just,
big
I think
cult,
I'm
white
just...
power, just kill everyone else, just you know, just
okay,
straight
you're
in there.
Just
be like, just pure.
Okay, just give me a second, mate. Just go get some coffee. That'd be great. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
I'll just
okay.
go. I'm gonna
okay,
go.
Okay.
I'll get us some. Yeah. Hey, milk. White milk.
Yeah. Thanks.
God, I love
thanks.
Milk.
Yeah.
I love everything white.
Yeah.
White power. Big cult. Big cult.
I've got a ring. I've got a ring. Hey, Pats. Hey, mate. It's good to hear from you. How's it going? Yeah, well, do you know what? We're doing the auditions today, right? It's been all right. I think I found the guy. He's in a big cult, though, mate. Like big, like white power cult. Yeah, I know. You can't join a cult. Don't be fucking ridiculous. Get your ass back here immediately. I can't believe you. No. I'll speak to you later. Speak to you later. Fucking shambles. Absolute shambles.
Didn't agree on that.
Oh my God.
Pod shambles.
Pod shambles.
Nice.
I said 1, 2, 3, 4, goose loose in this horse campus. Here we go. Whoa! Paddy's got his nipples out. It's tea time. It's Sunday. It's Holy Pod Shambles again.
Oh, why do we always start with so much energy?
It's because to get it out of the way so that people know that we can be energetic for a bit. But you're back, Paddy. And
I'm
Laurie,
back,
me.
And it's all downhill from
and
here.
And we are still Pod Shambles. Welcome back, listeners. This is episode 31.
My name's Paddy. No, 32. 32. My name's Paddy Jervis. I like having a good time all the time.
Yeah, all the time. Everyone.
What's your name?
My name is Laurie Titwash.
Yeah, it's a lie. It's a big lie.
The finest washer of tits this side of Titchbury.
Can you give me a small example?
Bring me a couple of tits and I will just lave them up all nice. You're
talking about the birds? Little birds.
Yeah, obviously. Birds. Whoa.
I like to keep birds.
Oh, a little bath for tits.
Yeah, little tit bath. I wonder how many times that joke has been made. Look, there's
not
a blue tit in my bath.
Watch out, I'm just going to scoop up this tit off the floor.
Exactly. Oh, he's
I'm
broken
pop
his
it
wing.
In my pocket.
Yeah,
which tits don't have wings?
Well, I don't know. You could release him as part of a magic trick.
Woo!
Hello. Yes, I am home.
It's not a magic tree, that's harassment.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. Hello, it's good to be back.
Welcome back, you were in Edinburgh and now you're not.
Yes, that is very much the crux of the past 6 weeks.
But
I'm
you did
home.
Really, really well. I mean, you got these most amazing reviews.
You
told me this, you might be a lie.
I don't want to blow my own arse, Laurie.
Blow smoke
up my own trumpet.
You got
however,
some people in, who can watch you? Who can watch you?
Oh, we had all
who
of them.
Who was famous?
We had Big Bill Murray.
Bill Murray?
No,
that
Bill Murray wasn't
cool.
there. Sir Alistair Thorne.
You did
Game
actually
Thrones.
Have Sir Alistair Thorne.
We had
brilliant.
Lots of reviewers and we got really.
They call you bastards!
Yeah, he was really John aggressive.
Snow.
Yeah, like he was. But he brought his family. He was lovely. Oh. No, we had loads of reviewers in. It was really good. We had loads and loads of audio. We had like double numbers on what we had last year.
Get a load of this guy.
Yeah,
double
no,
numbers.
I don't like to say it very often, but this was a very good year.
Yeah, you're allowed to say it. Because you don't say it very often.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank
really,
you.
Really well done.
Well
but
done.
Now you're back to reality.
Yeah.
The hard slog. You're
back
my
to the shit that
little
I...
shit shoveling shave slave.
Shit shoveling
slave. Shit shoveling slave again.
Oh, yeah, but it is lovely to be not only in my own house, but, like, with all of my friends.
Yeah.
Like, drinking in pubs without having to run somewhere and, like...
We have been spreading a lot of rumours about you, though, in your absence.
Yeah,
it's
I've
been quite
heard.
Fun.
Quite, yeah.
Webbed hands was number one, because that, frankly, no one can disprove until they see you again, so
mate,
that's pretty fun.
It's all concealer. How I do it. It's all concealer.
It makes the spaces in between your fingers invisible.
Yeah, unlike, you know, in Thunderbirds, yeah, they paint... You know, this is really cool. They used to... You know the puppets?
Yeah.
They used to paint... The strings on each puppet. They had a guy who's one of my dad's friends who painted the strings to match the background in every single change of camera shot so it would look more like they
That's
were
not true.
That is 100% true.
No, because you see the strings in a lot of the
Yeah, you can't
shots.
Get it perfect. Can
I
you?
Thought they computer edited them out later. I may well be wrong. I,
no,
I assumed.
They,
that
maybe
they,
at least in the early days, it was all painted.
Oh, no,
like
and when I say
Scarlet
later, I mean
kind of
like. You know, in the thousands when they remastered these things.
Oh, right, okay.
That's incredible, though. What a job to have
yeah,
had.
Yeah, how cool's that? String
really
painter
cool.
String for puppets.
Painter. Well, that is an excellent job.
Yes,
well done,
exactly.
Paddy's dad's friend.
But anyway, like yes, but all in all, London's brilliant. I love Edinburgh, but it's
great.
Fucking great to be home.
Good.
Yeah.
What are the top three things you missed about London?
Top three things I missed about London.
Number one.
Number... What? No, hang on. Wait,
number
which,
three.
Which
Sorry, coming
best?
In at number three.
Coming in at number three. Towels.
They have towels in Edinburgh.
No, they
okay.
don't.
Okay. Thing number two.
My towel. I've got there's a towel in my eyelid. No, number two is you.
No, that's not true.
And number
and
one
doesn't count.
Is Zach.
No,
actually,
it's true. He is
no.
the one who bathes and cleans and feeds us.
Yeah, he does do that. He
the
even cooks
mother
for head. Us tonight. He is mother hen. No, I think no. Three things. Genuinely, like relaxing.
Maxing,
yeah, and,
all cool,
and all by the pool. No, I've just missed my mates, and I've missed doing this, and I've missed
so
doing
soppy and transparent.
YouTube, I know, but I miss doing YouTube videos.
Like
I miss
your penis,
dicking about, and it's been yeah. And now I'm home, and it's fine.
Amazing.
How have you been? What have you been doing for August?
Oh well, big changes, mate.
Oh,
big
what's
changes.
Been happening?
Finally knocked through the conversion, right?
Oh right.
So
open
I've got
plan
a
now.
Patio on my 6 foot square room, whatever the fuck it is. what's happened? Really nothing. Like I went to, isn't that awful thing? I went to a party this weekend.
Yeah.
You have that question, which is always, so what are you up to? How's life?
Yeah.
And the number of times I had exactly the same awkward conversation. Well, nothing was really different. It's like, what's changed, man? What's new with you? It's like, literally nothing. Like, I broke up with my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Don't want to talk about that, really.
Yeah, exactly. That's
and,
not fun.
And I still work a job, which I'm not, you know, particularly enthusiastic about.
No, exactly.
And, you know, life goes on, I guess, and I'm not dead.
God, you're making
what
it
are you meant to say?
Really
no,
upsetting.
I know. It's not that upsetting.
No,
it's,
but
it's
I,
nice
I know
to be
exactly.
stable and secure, but like, you
it's
know.
That old, it's that old pro. Because what else can you say to someone that you haven't seen for a while? If you go up to them and you're weird and you're like, hey, look at that. I got
you.
Like,
and you can't can't be genuinely happy about loads of great stuff. Well, do you know what, right? I won £1 million. Yeah. And then I married a supermodel.
Because that makes people hate you. Yeah, that exactly. makes you Johnny Bastard.
Johnny Bastard.
Have you ever met Johnny Bastard?
Thank God, no.
He lives in my drawer.
Hello, did I tell you about the time I won another boat?
Another boat.
Go away, little Johnny. And he goes back to his little sailing thing.
Okay, bye. Okay, bye. I'm going to persecute minorities. Pick up my tiny dungarees.
Why does that make him awful?
He's got a telescope that he's looking out with.
He's looking for old women who are naked.
For old naked to harass women. Them. Johnny Bastard. Yet another classy character from Podshambles. No, man, I've been... It's been good. Like, one thing... I don't know whether this is because I'm exceptionally tired. Having said that...
I don't know if this is because I'm exceptionally talented and amazing guys, but...
No, I don't know whether this is I'm very tired. I think I, especially over long periods of just constant work, I end up getting quite... shitty with people.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm not. And I'm not just saying this. You know this. I'm not like that. I'm generally
not a shitty person.
I'm very laid back about people, and I don't like to be the guy who's like starting a bit of a conflict. But I've started to get a little bit like tetchy about things, but not in real life.
I think that's fine though.
I think that's fine. I think it was something. It's something about the sort of Edinburgh sphere that you bubble. That's what I'm looking for. You get lodged in, and like all you see on like Facebook and Twitter and all this shit is just like, oh my show is so brilliant.
It's always as if their show is really. I mean, obviously,
it's the humble brag thing, isn't it?
But it's more than that. It's more assuming that other people want to hear about your fascinating life. Yeah. And they want to hear about the fact that your tech run didn't go very well, but then you know you and your girlfriend went up St. Arthur's seat together. What a great morning! Like and it was all fine in the end. It's like great. You had a normal life. I don't really. Care.
And yeah, that's the thing. I just find that when people start talking about that kind of thing on social media, I know a lot of the time it isn't meant to upset you. Maybe sometimes people are trying to make their lives better, but I know this is getting really like serious and all that.
No, but it
is. I don't see the point in it.
There are
all.
Two sides though, right? Because let's get really serious.
Okay.
Right? Because there's an element which is self promotion and blagging and being like, look at me, my life is great.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But then you are also proud of the stuff you do. And for example, not to pick you up on this, right?
Mm.
But you very admirably went to the march on Saturday. Town for the Syrian refugees.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent, well done. I didn't, I was lazy.
I saw Jeremy Corbyn give a speech, it was fucking amazing.
And you posted about it on your Facebook. You went, I went to this... You said, is anyone there to meet up, I guess.
I said, is anyone else at the march?
Which is, I guess that's one way of doing it, but you're right, you swerved the crucial bollard of, oh my god, I just feel so blessed to be among these people.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we're really fighting the good fight, guys. It's like moralising yourself. I hate that. Absolutely hate it. Get off my... I use Facebook to put up music that makes me look really cool. Number two, like to put up stupid pictures on your wall, usually of like corgis.
I speak to you on Facebook and that is about it.
And
other than that, it's just sort of...
And otherwise, hot singles in my area.
Yeah, exactly. And avoiding the gaze of ex-girlfriends that are constantly...
I thought you were about to just say avoiding the gaze.
And avoiding the gaze. I just block them all. Jesus. I cannot deal with it. But you said there were two sides to this. What's your other opinion on this?
Well, the other side is this thing I saw on my Twitter the other day, and I was, God, it was one of those things I initially was really quite upset about seeing.
Okay.
It was one of those, involved a hashtag, let's just say no more. But the hashtag was 100 happy days. I don't know if you heard this thing.
Yes.
Right? See, I initially thought, like, and it was 100 happy days is basically every day you think of something about your life that you're very happy, proud, you know, makes you smile.
Like an achievement or
something. Yeah, despite, and you know, I guess the kind of subtext is despite all the other shit going on.
Right,
so if you're unhappy, why not think about the night? Which is, you know, that's a valid kind of attitude to have to life. Anyway, you know, you wake up someday, you know, you go to bed some days, you think, I've had a shit day.
But yeah, actually, it's like people setting little targets for themselves or whatever.
And I guess putting it on Twitter is only the next logical step. But I initially thought, I can't be dealing with this. And I read this guy's 100 Happy Days, and they're actually really, really nice. I know that's an awful word to use, nice, but very kind of touching. Right. And I thought, it was a very nice window into his life, number one, which is what social media is all about. But number two, I just thought... Yeah, you're getting this right. You've done it right.
Okay, I'm gonna stop because I've seen the 100 hashtag. It's hashtag 100 happy days.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And you're meant to do it like every. I've got old mate on old Twitter. Mate. Yeah, it's just some old mate.
Yeah.
Right. Like not as in an old friend.
No.
Old mate down the road. Yeah, you know. Guy on Twitter.
Give him
and
two quid.
He's doing that.
Okay.
But I don't think it's what you're talking
about. Yeah, but I mean, you just said you're quite cynical about this kind of thing.
No. I really think. There's a problem. Like, ooh. I'm worried about mine. Like, quite a big way.
No. It's meant to be this really... Yeah, it's meant to be, like, the nice, positive thing you take away from your life, you know. Do you know what?
Okay, right. Hang on, let's compare.
I'm going to get this on Twitter.
Yeah.
To Twitter!
To Twitter!
Oh, dude.
What the fuck have you done? What?
Here's the noise that Twitter makes. Okay, tweeps, James Impala 1 here. Let's go. Off on another online adventure. See you on the other side.
Hello, my name is Bob Cake. Follow me at Bob_Cake3.
These are my 100 happy days. Day 1. Went out today just as the rain stopped. I guess that's the first 100 happy days out of the way. Hashtag bless. Hashtag dry as a bone. Hashtag not a euphemism.
Day 1. Went up Hampstead Heath to watch the sunset and had a wank. Hashtag yes.
Day 2. Took my little sister to the park. Even had time for a swing myself. Hashtag king of the swingers. Hashtag not like that.
At Marcus99 replies, whoa, mate, that sounds dodge. Hashtag shaggers.
At JamesImpala1 replies, lol, mate, too rude. Hashtag jungle VIP.
Day 2. Poured a bucket of gravel into a paddling pool that had no business being there in the first place. Hashtag Bob Cares.
Day 3. On my way to pick up a new canoe. Hashtag inspired. Hashtag my heart will go on. Hashtag Albert Canoe.
Day 3. Stole what I suspect to be a kayak. Hashtag Bob Cares.
Day 4. Got mistaken for Daniel Radcliffe again. Lol. Come on, guys. He's even got glasses. Hashtag Harry Notter.
Day 11. No. 4. Day 4. Reported myself missing and then waited for the officers to find me and then ran and let them catch me. They had a good day at work and I got to ride in the correct part of a police van.
Day 5. Can't not pick lunch with this one as my hashtag 100 happy days today at Jessica Loves Kasabian. And then there's an emoji of a cake and then a heart and then a winking face.
Day 5. Watered down a reservoir with more badgers. Hashtag nature.
Day 6. New hat Friday! Exclamation mark. Hashtag Papa's got a brand new hat. And then there are loads of photos of a hat. An awful hat.
Day 6. Jumped in front of a moving carriage on a ride at Euro Disney and survived. Others did not. Hashtag Bob remembers.
Day 7. Said no to that second pint with the boys. Hashtag cut out the carbs. Hashtag still a lad. Brackets at Tom is a lag and at Ben is the lad.
Day 7. Managed to look at myself in the mirror and not hate myself for an hour. But I was drunk. Hashtag Bob drinks.
Day 8. Made some time for me and at Dan Brown author at last. Hashtag Da Vinci Code. Hashtag literature.
Day 8. Punched a hole through the wall of a bakery in order to steal yeast. Hashtag does Bob bake? Hashtag, yes, I would like to.
Day 9. Bought an energy-saving bulb. Feeling so green. Hashtag, save the earth. Hashtag, let's start something. At Gren Party.
Reply from at Gren Party.
Oh, come join the party. Click here for hot nudes.
Day 9. Finally managed to get into that bottle bank. Hashtag stock.
Day 10. Gave £2 to a homeless today. Sometimes I think I'm the only one that cares. Hashtag humble. Hashtag just another day being James.
Day 10. Ate a load of glue by mistake. Hashtag stock. Hashtag but different.
I can't wait to see what makes tomorrow another happy day. Hashtag 100 happy days.
100 shite.
Sunday, Monday, happy days!
Tuesday, ha, yeah!
Thursday, Friday, happy days!
Saturday is another day, and we're cruising round the week with Bob!
Yeah! These days are happy, lovely. Hashtag 100 happy days.
100 happy days.
These days are ours to spend as you will.
Same.
Do as you will and be happy, for goodness sake. Have
100 happy days.
Happy days.
With Bob Cake.
And James in Parlour One. All right, mates. I mean, here we go. New section of the podcast. My thoughts about toast, right? Because it's something that people need to know about. So the thing, why are you looking at that? I'm going to tell you about toast. So like, the thing that I really don't understand, what is this?
It's back!
What is?
It's, I'm sorry, I've dropped all the papers, but it's...
It's
time for... Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. It's a choose your own adventure and
there is actually a theme tune we can put in here.
Oh yeah, we'll put it in anyway.
It's time for some sort of adventure. Pod Shambles Adventure.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Adventure Time faces the Shamblers. Where will we be this week? It could be a cave, or a hole, or a lake, or a mountain, or a feast, or a pie, or a back alley of a Nando's. Where, oh, where could we be? It's an Adventure Time. Let us cross hill and dale, through the forest and the vale. We're flagging the Dorp and Barbasa. Let's sail on the magic train, the magic train, adventure train, the magic train. Where will it go? Who even knows? It's adventure time,
adventure time,
adventure time on the Pod Shambles tonight.
That was lovely.
Oh, we're back! Isn't that lovely?
That was bloody lovely!
Let's do some adventure.
What a
my
surprise adventure. That's absolutely fine. Don't worry
Give
about
your
the
mad scrawlings.
Don't worry, the mad scrawlings, you know, if anything, they hinder the plot. But yes, we are back with another Choose Your Adventure. And do you remember, alright, okay, do you remember where you were last time, or do you want me to just very quickly fill
Give
you
me in? A flashback, man.
Okay, flashback. You went to the tavern in Orville.
Yes.
Do you remember the mining town?
I do remember that tortured gag.
Yes, tortured gag, very good. And you met the bartender, Keith.
Yeah, Scouser Liverpudlian,
Keith. Yeah. Liverpudlian. And you met Drunk Grubbins, who gave you a fetch quest, and you did the skills challenge, do you remember?
Oh, brilliant.
Where you had to get where he wanted.
And
needed,
I got a staff.
You needed duck's blood.
Yes,
you got staff, and you need duck's blood, but they were out. They only had one duck left.
And he had to kill his
favorite
duck.
Yeah, and Keith had to kill Orville. Yeah.
It's standard fare in RPG land.
Exactly. So you got the thing, and then you remember you met Heron at the bar, who was a very cool vagabond.
And it turns out he's a baddie.
Turned out he was a baddie. And you met Bag, the side boss as well. Bag. Bag was my favorite character
Bag was
I
great.
Think we've ever written.
Okay.
And he wasn't even written.
And Heron stolen the adventure train. That's
yes,
how it ends.
He killed Oliver's parents.
Yes.
Oliver's he made Oliver an orphan.
Don't give a shit about that.
You
them,
do, though.
I
a
don't.
Little bit.
You
a
keep hammering home that plot point. I just don't care, mate.
I think you do
I'm
a little
gonna
bit.
I'm going to punt him off.
I think you do.
Fucking deep end
I
in
think
a second.
You can.
The deep end. Woo!
But yeah, and so he killed, and then Barbossa kicked in the door and said, someone has stolen the adventure train. And remember, that was where we left off.
That's where adventure picks up. Turn to page 84, Paddy. I think.
I mean, I've only got one page, but I could fold it a lot. Anyway, no, it's fine. Okay, so our journey now begins with... Okay, I'm going to assume the three of you rush outside the front door
The
tavern.
Sure.
The tavern. The lovely cock.
The lovely cock.
Right, okay. You bust out of the front of the lovely cock. I was gonna change its name then because I already forgot it. You bust out the front of the lovely cock, and in the distance you've just heard the toot toot of the train. Remember, you see this train starting to, and it's starting very slowly and like the steam.
What do you mean? Hang on. What do you mean starting though?
Well, the
how does the train.
Train
move?
Well, no. It runs on magic tracks, right?
Yeah, but hang on. No, what am I actually seeing?
Okay.
Happen.
Maybe
right
when
now.
You get a little bit closer, you'll see.
Okay, so how well, obviously I'm going to run after the train. By the way.
Yes, yeah, okay, that is going to be your first...
I'm going
to
say, come on, guys, let's get this bloody...
Let's get after the train!
Surely the boss is gone.
Okay,
he's
now,
long gone.
Okay, so you start to run. Okay, yeah. You start to run for the train, and like all the village people like are doing
yeah,
their dance.
What's happening?
Like, they're all looking like, and
what's
going on? What's that? And they can see the train moving off. And you're running, and you're running, and you're running. Now, immediately, what you notice is that Barbossa can't run. It's like one leg is sort of spiralling out, and he's falling behind, okay? He's falling behind.
Right.
Oliver, he's... yeah, he's like his little legs pounding along. He's running, but he's also not keeping up with you.
Is it like he's walking on something very, very slippery? slippery and you're actually not going anywhere.
Like that, whereas you are the fastest because, you know, you're a street magician. You've got to be fast on your feet. Yeah, absolutely. So Oliver, right, this is something you cannot change, I'm afraid. But Oliver notices he's falling behind and he jumps up onto your back.
Oh, shit.
And his little orphan arms that are surprisingly strong and, you know, forged with gin. Grip around your neck, okay. And immediately you're starting to choke and it is slowing you down.
Yes, okay.
What do you want to do?
Well, I can't elbow him off, can I?
Well, I mean,
I can try.
You can try.
It's not going to help it.
You can
well,
try.
I think we have to slow down and not get to... I mean, get as close to train as we can, but I'm going to keel over, I think, if I'm not careful.
Well, I don't know. It's if you had some... Like something you could do.
Oh, I've got a skill! I forgot about that!
You have a daily skill.
Fleet of foot, motherfucker! Let's do it!
Okay, just give me a quick roll. Oh, the first dice roll of the game. It's always fun. Right, 1, 4, 4. That makes 9.
Yes.
That is brilliant. Okay, cool. You start to speed up. Oliver, you're still choking quite badly, but Oliver, he's like a cape behind
him.
Yeah, and his shoes.
Paddy up, paddy
one up. Of it. Yeah, he's right. He's a little jockey.
Obviously.
He's a little jockey.
He just pulls a whip out of his sack. He's just hitting me on the butt as we go.
And your butt is... And your throat is... And you're sort of being like erotically...
Should have
done. Like, you know, you're sort of getting an erection and you're just going and like...
Oh, I don't know.
That's weird, isn't it? But it's fine. But you are catching up and up to the train, okay? And you get within distance to see what's actually going on with it. Now, basically, the first thing you notice is that on top of the front carriage of the train is Sturd Heron. Okay, and he's like, oh,
cape
man.
Cape billowing in
yeah,
the wind.
Man. And it's like sunset behind him, and like it's
and
like...
All you can hear
fucking
is...
Like that, and you catch his eye, and he sort of smirks. And then you look down, and the train... And basically, now, this is where I'm going to explain how the train has been stolen. Okay, so, at the front of the train... There are all these kind of little, like, gnarly, kind of goblin-y guys, right? Okay, and they're all dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, and they are building tracks in front of the train.
Oh, Wallace and Gromit style.
Yeah, like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, and they're building these tracks really fast, and the train is fit, and as the train is speeding up, you see them getting, like, more and more goblins are, like, falling, like that, and some of them are being crushed underfoot and all this. And they're building this thing. And then at the back of the train is Bag, sat on the end, picking up all of the little... He's picking them all up, and they're feeding them. It's like a chain gang to the front of the train.
That's amazing.
So the train can, in theory, go anywhere.
I'm not even angry they stole it anymore.
How cool is that, right? How cool is that as a mechanic? So he's passing them forward and all this.
Well done, Paddy.
Like that. And like dun, 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 and you're catching up to it. And then... But I'm very, very sorry, but a roll of 9...
Oh, I didn't get the train.
You don't catch up to the train.
Hits.
You see it start to go faster and faster... And then, like, basically, the Bag looks back at you, and he sort of sees you, and he doesn't, it's like he wants to speak to you, but he doesn't say anything. And then someone get, like, two guys, you see him reach out to you from the back of the train.
Yeah.
And then the two other motherfuckers, do you remember, like, the twins come out, and they're like, get inside, Bag! And they throw Bag back in, because they know that he's quite sentimental.
Aww.
They throw Bag into the back of the train, start picking up the planks, and they're much faster than Bag. So the train is speeding up.
Is it because Bag was waving every other time?
Yeah, exactly. He keeps waving,
and then
again.
Is always waving. Yeah, exactly.
Alternating. So these guys, and they are much faster, and they have so many goblin manpower at the front, or goblin power, whatever you want to say, at the front, and they're just keeping the train going and all that.
They got
the train begins to speed off into the distance. And
well, we tried,
and you're starting to slow down.
But I think it's time to give up now.
Yeah, exactly. And you fall to your knees.
No, I mean, I'm just giving up. I mean, the adventure's over.
That's
right?
Over.
That's
you're
done.
Going yeah. home. Back
See
to
you later.
Back to wherever it is you're from in Shambhala.
Shambhala.
Oh yeah, that's what it's called.
You bought the name for the setting.
Shambhala.
On an aside, don't you love that the Dragon Age world?
Yeah.
Is just called Thedas,
right?
Because it's the Elder Scroll, the Dragon Age setting.
Isn't that
amazing?
And that was their name when the developers were
doing it,
wasn't
it? Yeah,
and
they
decided Thedas.
Yeah.
That is fucking great. Anyway, Shambhala.
Better than Thedas.
Yeah. Shambhala is winning on all counts. Anyway, so you start to slow down and you fall to your knees and Oliver sort of slips round your neck and his little bottom plunks on the floor next to you and he goes, we didn't catch it.
Yeah, thanks, Oliver.
I wished we had.
Yeah, me too.
We didn't catch it, Dragon, sir.
Yeah,
and
you're
so forlorn, and you're obviously already quite pissed off with him. Mm-hmm. And then behind, like, hundreds of yards behind him, and he's lolloping along, and bits are falling off him.
What
like,
do you mean, bits?
Well, like, all of his wooden bits.
Oh,
and he's, like, slowly... like he's slowly,
eight wooden dicks
yeah,
fall off
he's being
off
dismantled as he gets towards you, and then finally he sort of goes, ah, and he just falls straight in his face, and he's asleep.
Okay.
He's right next to you, he's
Great.
Asleep. And you watch the train go off in the distance and you see your whole life just flash before your eyes.
Why?
Because
I died.
Yeah, you are dead. You see your whole life flash through your eyes, and you know, you think of all the times you had on the train and how much you're going to miss it. And then you see, I don't know, maybe 50 meters in front of you, there's almost like a glint. Like in the path of the train. The train's long gone. Okay. You see it. It's really big. You can still see Heron's outline, like in front of the sun, and he's still like
he's still perfectly
one hand
framed.
Yeah. Like
Yatta!
Yatta! Yeah. But yeah, and you see him, but there's this little glint, and that's all you've got
I
to get.
I'm going to ignore that. No, let's go and find. Look at that glint, man. I know enough about games to know that glint's going to be something useful.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to leave those two there. I'm just going to roll over. And
Oliver is now curled up in a ball inside like the nook of Barbossa's thigh, like,
ooh,
and he's sucking
bit.
His little thumb and all. This.
Okay, whoa.
You got worried for a second there, didn't
yep.
you? And yes, yeah, so you leave them there, like you set up a little camp for them, little tent, yeah, little thing, and then you start to wander towards.
And slowly, just put some. Chloroform over both.
Both. Now they're both well and truly knocked out. And anyway, so you approach the glen, and it's something that you recognise as you pick it up in your hand.
It's Shelley.
It's Shelley the wench. No, little glint. You notice the glint is the button on a nose of a small bear-shaped rucksack.
Oh shit! Bag's bag.
It's Bag's bag.
Bag's bag.
Bag's bag. Bag's dad gave him. Bag's dad gave him Bag's bag. Bag dad. Very good joke. I've been waiting to use that all fucking week. Anyway, so it's Bag's bag, right? It's Bag's bag.
Okay, Bag's bag.
And it's like, you know when you're like in an adventure, like or in a game,
yeah.
When you find a teddy bear and it's quite a sort of like sad moment where it's like one of its ears is ripped and it's usually after a disaster, like in Fallout or something, and you're like,
there's one in The Last of Us, I'm sure you've
there
found
is one in The Last of Us,
yeah.
You find a bear and it's like, oh, that is the most depressing thing I've ever seen. That is what this bear looked like. It obviously went like it fell off the back of the train, it's covered in all the shit,
but hang on.
Comes out of the back of
it's
the magic
a bag,
pole.
Though.
It's a bag.
So let's rifle through that bitch. Let's get
through
right through
the
it.
The bag. Okay.
Being careful to preserve the bag, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're going nice. To hang on to the bag. Yeah, and yeah. Also, it gives you extra inventory space.
Nice.
That's something I didn't tell you before.
Plus, like, half an inventory
yeah,
space.
Yeah, plus two slots. Anyway, so you open the bag, and inside are three items.
Okay.
Clearly Bag's most treasured bag possessions. Okay,
nice.
In his bag. Isn't it a great joke? It just keeps
bag,
giving,
bag,
doesn't it?
Bag.
Bag's bag. Anyway, there are three things.
What are they?
Okay, the first one. Is a whistle.
A whistle? What do you mean? Like a ref whistle?
like an emergency whistle. Like, do 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 do.
Oh, I see.
In case he gets into trouble.
What, like he ripped it off a life jacket or something.
Yeah, he pulled
like
it off hastily whilst he was do 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 do
oh,
do.
Oh, that's so cute.
Whilst he was drowning. It's adorable, isn't it? The second item is a map. Of some description, okay. It's it's like a map of a zoo, as far as you can tell.
Oh yeah,
and like, I mentioned it
he
earlier
had that
on.
Before.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
You
had it at the tavern.
Great.
It's like a, it's
glad
like a, it's
to
a map,
have that
it's a
map,
map of a zoo, brilliant. And it's got like little scrolls on it, and like it's obviously like he keeps this map, he treasures this map, he absolutely loves it, and it's got like little like etchings on it, and there's a big circle and a cross in one corner on this bit, and it says BD,
ooh.
But it's like the D is backwards, like bag ooh. Is not particularly good.
Is that going to be like
kind of
Big Dungeon or something?
I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
I've got no idea.
So.
It's bags okay. writing. Anyway, so you find the map, and then the third thing is from what you can see is it's sort of like it's like a mana potion, basically,
okay.
Or from what you can tell. But it's sort of it's in this like sort of metallic kind of plasticky. Almost like pyramid-shaped kind of packaging, almost.
Right?
That kind of comes to a point at the top, and it's got like a little red straw like with it, and it's like there's a little like circular silver bit on the packaging
right.
that you're meant to like pierce like with the straw.
So it's a, yeah. like a caprison.
It's like a cap. It's a caprison.
Right.
Yeah.
Caprison.
Yeah, he's got a Caprison, but it's a magic Caprison. It's a mana edition.
Of course.
And it's got a little, like, sort
of
wizard on it.
Could you not think of anything better than a Caprison?
Yeah, yeah. But
you chose not to.
I chose not to. I think Caprison sums up bag perfectly well.
All right, well, we'll pop that in the bag for a mana potion, because we need that later.
Yes,
we'll
absolutely.
Maybe,
hello.
Maybe we can pay him back later.
Yeah, it's fine.
Well, can we have a look at this map? What's going on?
Okay, so, yeah, the map appears to be... You can tell it's a zoo nearby, because you know... Like,
when you say a zoo?
Yeah.
Just as like a zoo?
Yeah. It's,
okay.
Well, like, it says at the top, Magical Monty's Magical Fantastical Beastorium. And it says, like, all the patrons underneath, and it's, like...
Okay.
Dr. Y. Wank. And, like,
Dr. Y. Wank?
Yeah, yeah, it's, like, they're, like, the head zoologists or whatever, and, you know, it always has the little patrons under zoo bits.
I didn't, but...
Well, there you go. I might have made that up. But anyway, and there's little, like, you can see this big zoo, but it's got, like, you know, on maps we have the roads leading off, and it says towards blah, towards...
A34 to Chichester.
A34 to Chichester's on there, but, like, it says towards Orville, 1 mile.
Oh, okay, okay.
So it's obviously a very nearby zoo, basically.
Okay, but it's a zoo.
It's a zoo, yeah. But it's all you've got to go on.
Well, yeah, but who cares?
Well,
it's a zoo.
Yeah, it's a zoo. I'd love to go to the zoo.
Oh, he's not awake already. Chloroformed in 2 seconds ago.
No, he is immune to chloroform. He's been chloroformed so many times.
By his parents.
By his folks.
Shut up, Oliver!
Yeah, exactly. And now they're dead. But yeah, he keeps on... He's like immune to chloroform, basically.
If only I could go to the zoo and see all the magical beasts!
If you're a very good boy, maybe we can go later. But
right now, we've
got to find the train, Oliver. Do you know where it might have gone?
Hello. Good. Did I hear something about a zoo? I love zoos. I love playing with the gibbons. I love a gibbon. We used to have gibbons back in the pirate train days. We used to call them steam gibbons.
Because
they were all just shoveling this coal and all that. They used to be, before we got engine room Phil on board, the train was run by magic gibbons.
You know what? To be fair, I'd much rather see that than engine room Phil anywhere near that engine again.
Well, no, but one of them was very similar to engine room Phil, and he was called engine room Steve. Oh, you would love him. I'll see if I can dig him up back. Oh, no, he's on the train. Oh, no. I mean, it's a last cause, really.
Look, Barbossa.
I'd love Barbossa, to go and get some gibbons.
Let's go get this train, then, rather than gibbons.
Oh, for fuck's sake. All right. Well, the train's gone. So, yeah. Are you going to go
Why don't we go back to Orville? Is there no other towns nearby that we know of?
No, I mean, Orville is the only near place.
Let's go back to Orville. Let's do the old RPG route. We'll ask some questions.
Right.
I ain't going to a fucking zoo.
No, it's fine.
Just on an off chance.
That's
just
fine.
So an orphan can have a nice day.
Nothing at the zoo.
And
a
weird pirate captain.
What's the point?
Play with some gibbons.
Fucking point of going to the zoo? No, it's obviously not. Yeah, fine. Go back to Orville. Yeah, fine.
It's
whatever.
Too easy. Too easy. You wouldn't give me a big clue. Oh, maybe you should go to the zoo.
Okay, but fine.
I'm not going.
No, it's your adventure.
It's
your adventure. So you walk back to Orville.
Okay.
And on the way to Orville, just about like a metre and a half outside Orville, there's a big sign says zoo left, right? Okay. And there's a big sign. You go, oh,
it's the zoo.
Yeah.
The zoo's not interested in the zoo.
Fine. Okay. So you walk past the zoo. And as you come in through the town gates, there's a man with a bell.
Oh, right? Okay.
He's like a town, yeah, town crier. Sort of.
Yeah,
and people are gathering around him. He's on like a sort of pedestal, and he's gathering around him. Ding, 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 ding. Has anyone heard about the zoo?
Oh, what is this?
What a fantastic zoo it is!
Oh.
Just for today, half price tickets at the zoo!
Let's go around another corner. I don't want to talk to him.
Okay,
fine.
Okay, well, as his cries of zoo fan over here disappears into the background, you come back across the lovely cock.
Yes.
Okay, do you want to go in?
I don't know. I didn't leave in very good terms.
Well, actually, it doesn't really matter, because as you approach the door, you see there's a sign that says closed. Just closed for today.
Oh, shit. Okay.
All right. So you can't go back in. The lights are all dark.
Is there like a
that.
Town square
Drunk
or
Grubbins,
something?
Well, Drunk Grubbins is sat outside, almost passed out.
Right.
He's being sick.
Okay. I'm putting him in the recovery position.
Okay, you do.
Stroke his head.
And he dies.
No.
No, he doesn't die. I'm sorry. No,
recovery
but he's going
position.
To.
No one dies.
Like, no, he's fine. And he looks up and he goes, oh, flagging. I can't remember his voice.
Much like that.
But it was something along those lines. Flagging, tell me, have you been to the zoo? And then with that he falls asleep. And I'm sorry about all this zoo stuff. Anyway, but like, there's like a weapons shop probably.
Oh,
like
it's probably a weapons shop. Armor shop maybe.
Okay, all right. Okay, you go up to the armor shop, which is called Hammer and Sickle. Okay.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
For an armor shop with hammer and sickle.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got like an anvil with a hammer on it.
Yeah.
And then like a big communist flag.
Yeah, I get that. Like, yeah. I picked up on that.
So you approach to it. It appears to be open.
Okay. Let's go in.
Okay, so you go in. Right, behind the counter is a very, very small, sort of, like, quite ratty man.
Yeah.
Okay, he's about 8 inches high. Okay, and he's on, like, a load of piled-up yellow pages, like, so that he can look over the counter.
Right.
And he goes,
hello, armor of all kinds from the distant corners of the globe.
Phil.
Sounds like Phil. No, hang on. no.
That's Oliver.
You've got four voices.
Armors of all kinds. From all... No, I don't have any more. Armors of all. okay.
Do you want me to do a voice for him? You feed me the.
Hey,
Anime of all kinds from all different lines of the globe.
Oh, it's the lead singer of the Arab Strap.
It's the lead singer of Arab Strap. Oh, we got all kinds of armor. Stop staring at me. I know I'm only 8 inches high, but that's you right, can give me a fucking brain.
And then he does a side gag where he takes out a Kit Kat. And he
nice.
I'm very funny. And he has a bit. And he has a bit more.
It's limited.
And you're
now,
just watching.
It?
Yeah, now it's
He has another bite of the Kit Kat and he says, what do you want to buy?
What have you got?
Well, I got armor.
Okay.
I got chainmail.
What have you got? Let me stop you there, my friend. What have you got suitable for a cloth wearer such as myself?
Oh. I see you're wearing motley.
Yeah.
I think I got something like that. Oh, nice. Tell you what.
And now it takes ages, but he climbs down from the books. Okay. And it's like you're stood there 5-6 minutes or something. And then
that awkward bit in a shop, and you're like...
And he brings up this beautiful... It's also kind of jested as motley, in fairness, but it's like, it's for what you'd imagine maybe a royal jester would wear. It's got like, it's definitely got little like hard bits built into the shoulders.
Nice.
And like, it's a bit more padded. It's got a belt that comes with it. Belt's free. And like all that, he says that. And it's like, and it's gorgeous. It's all the colours of the rainbow. And it's just like, and he says, the
thing about this is, it's magic. You put it on and it sort of tightens to you. Ooh. And it keeps you safe, and you can combine it with, if you find any armor plates, you can put it in, and I could sort that for you.
Modular.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's very
How important. Much, my good man?
I'll tell you what.
Yeah?
Bargain discount, 6 grand.
6,000 coins.
6,000 coins.
Yeah, I can't afford that, man. I'm sorry.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what, just for you, right?
Yeah?
I'll give you a discount. I'll give it to you for 50 gold coins. But only if you bring me a used ticket stub from a zoo.
What is this? Oh, I really want that robe. It's really good.
This offer's valid.
It's got fat loots.
The next day or something.
Just
and
enough time for me to visit the zoo.
If you come back with a ticket stub and you don't even have 50 gold, I'll probably get it to you anyway.
Just get to the zoo what you're saying.
What I think is it's just... I think we should really support the locals.
Right, cheers, man. I'll see you later.
I'll see you later.
Hopefully be back.
And remember, if you ever need to talk to me again, long live the Red Block.
See you, comrade. And I give him a little. And I give him a little salute.
Yeah.
And click my heels together.
Yeah, exactly. And he taps his nose.
Yeah, and I roll one of my trousers legs up.
Little picture of Lenin.
and just kisses it.
See you later. Pops it under the desk from Lincoln. I'm quite liking this guy.
Why is this Glaswegian communist who runs 8 inches
voice,
tall?
I think I've got his voice now.
Yeah.
And it's changed.
It's a little bit creepy.
It's a little bit strange, isn't it?
All right, great. Well,
you've gone.
I'm going to go to the zoo, but it is on my terms.
Okay.
Oh, we're going to the zoo just so I can get some fat loots. No one is having fun at the zoo.
Okay.
We are going to the zoo.
Okay.
Let's go.
Okay, amazing. Here we go. Zoo time.
Oh, I see. So now Paddy has just brought out an enormous clutch of papers with zoo written all over them.
Okay, hang on. Quickly, just roll these dice for me. You're going to the zoo. Yes. Okay, so you're walking to the zoo. Okay, and basically you can almost see the zoo because it's only about 2 miles from all.
So like illuminated. And...
Yeah, it's like you can see this sort of, it's illuminated. It's definitely a zoo, but it's quite far in the distance. Okay, and you start walking towards it. You've still got Oliver and Barbossa with you. Okay.
They're walking on their own now.
Yeah, but like they're okay and they're sort of plodding along. Barbossa is still like, had the effects of the chloroform are still sort of
and the booze.
But like it's all good. But Oliver is skipping ahead of you and all this, and then
go to the zoo.
Yeah, exactly.
And I love the zoo.
Yeah, he's so fucking excited. It's horrible. It's excruciating how excited he is. You know, he's an orphan.
Nothing worse than happy children.
Yeah, exactly. And his little skip and jump. And as you get towards the zoo. Basically, you start to notice that there's sort of dust rising in front of it.
Right.
And that's definitely been happening since you initially thought it was fog. But as you get closer, you're still a way off. You're like a mile and a half away. But you're seeing all this dust like flip up and the zoo's starting to become somewhat obscured.
Right.
Okay. You're going to just keep I assume, just keep walking towards it?
Yeah, or... what can we do? Maybe I'll get my staff out, just so I can keep walking with it, but just have be ready for
something. Oh, right, okay, so you're going to draw your weapons. Yeah, okay. And Oliver and Barbosa take your lead, and they both... Yeah. Oliver draws his... What's he got? Like his
pen knife.
Yeah, like his a little crayon or whatever it is. Like, he's got his set of crayons, all the different colours.
He's got a gin bottle. No, doesn't he? No, what he does is he just gets a bottle of gin, mechs it.
Yeah, exactly.
And breaks it on the rock.
And his muscles go...
And holds it
like that, and he's still tiny, but he's like...
Popeye, but with gin.
Like, hench little orphan. He does that. Yeah, he's kept that hidden from
and
you.
But
he
breaks the bottle. And
yeah, just yeah. His little stumbles.
Jesus.
Around. And Barbosa pulls out his cutlass, like his trusty, you know.
Yeah.
His cutlass that is
inflatable
quite
cutlass.
Phallic. He loved. And you're walking towards him. The dust cloud is getting closer and closer.
Oh shit!
And out of the top of it, you start to see things fly. Okay, and they're not flying at you per se.
They're flying away.
They're flying away, almost towards you, but over you. And as you look up, these magnificent beasts are flying over. There's like a fucking, like, chimera, like, ooh, that's like sort of like an eagle and a lion and all this. Yeah, like a couple of griffins fly over and like a Pegasus, which we've already encountered. A wyvern.
Wyvern, is that how you say it?
I say wyvern. I don't know if that's right. A drake comes over. Ooh. And then like a manticore, like, you know,
the
like,
fucking
yeah,
the
with scorpion
tail.
Yeah, scorpion tail.
Lion head. Oh.
They're all coming over you, and it's actually really beautiful. And then they're not all just like,
but they're not coming for me.
Beasts, they're like small birds of paradise dotted among them.
But I'm all right. They're not.
Yeah, no, they are.
For me.
They're literally flying over you. They're not even flying towards. As you look behind you, they are just scattering in all different directions.
Coming from the zoo.
Yeah, and this tirade just keeps flying overhead, and then out of the dust, you notice that it's sort of a stampede, but not like you're not in grave danger. It's not like a block of
but
them.
But they are leaving
loads of things, like sort of rhinos with two butts, and like, you know, sort of monkeys that are sort of like scrabbling, but they're definitely magic monkeys because, you know, you can just tap
magic monkeys.
Like, yeah, exactly.
They fart pink clouds.
Yeah. And there's like a beholder that like comes past,
Yeah.
And there's like all these just amazing creatures, like one of those cactuars from Final Fantasy, like, runs past you like that.
Chocobos.
Yeah, like that, exactly. And they're all right, and they're all sort of, they're not doing battle cries, like, you know, when an animal's in distress and it sort of goes like that, like they're doing that, and they're all coming past you. Do you want to just keep walking through it? Nothing is attacking.
Yeah, why not? We'll keep on going. It's
okay,
towards
so you
the
plow. Oliver's having like, he's drunk, but he's like, oh, look at the animal. Fucking see that cat. Look at that fucking
cat.
He's got really,
oh, wait, rip my dick off. Look at that.
And Barbosa's like, and Barbosa keeps grabbing nearby monkeys and going, not again, man. And like, throwing them over it. Like in the magic monkeys.
Not again.
He picks them up and the monkey's head like sparkles. He's like, ah! He just throws
fucking magic monkeys!
Yeah, get out! You know, all that. And they're having a great time. Anyway, so as you get towards them, the animals are starting to thin out, sort of. And they're still enormous, like these big, like what are those things that Taurans ride in World of Warcraft?
Kodos.
Bunch of fucking Kodos, like, as if something has really spooked them.
Ooh,
okay,
spooked Kodos.
All running towards you. And these guys are actually, they're not coming to attack, you don't think, but they are running at you.
Oh, shit, then let's get out of the way.
You guys are going to have
Die
to have some kind of tactic for each, and I want you to get a tactic for each of the three of you to get out of the way. And
oh,
I know you want Oliver dead, but you have to try.
Can I just throw him under them and carry on?
It's your adventure.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to acrobatically leap.
You're going to vault?
Yeah, I'm going to vault them.
Cool.
In requisite styling.
Two dice.
Okay.
Use that. Sweet. Okay, that's
successful
that's more than, yeah, that's more than
okay.
enough. Okay, so what happens is, because Barbosa and Oliver are behind you.
Okay.
The way the scene pans out is these eight Kodos are running at you, and you plant your staff into the ground.
Can't I pick Oliver up and take it, like, just kind of fling him with me?
Yeah, okay, yeah, but you'll have to roll additionally.
Oh, okay.
Two
okay.
more.
His wiggling stat is quite high, from what I remember.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So you plant your staff on the ground and like a pole vaulter, obviously, and you start. You like lift yourself up and you grab his little ring belt buckle thing on the side.
His dungarees.
And you just hook him like that as you come, and there's this woo, and he like. But you in the pinnacle of your vault, he slips out of your grasp because he's like wet from gin and piss,
obviously,
you know, because he's you know, and he just woo, and he's straight up into the air. And he goes, you see him, like, as you're vaulting over, you get over the Kodos and you look up into the air and he just gets hit by a passing bird. Like, not a big one, but, like, a sort of...
A little gannet
kind of like
or
a vulture just grabs him in midair and just goes, ah! Like that. And he starts flying back towards Orville.
He's gone!
And you're, oh my God, and Oliver's just, please, sir! He's disappearing back towards orbit. All right, you've got a roll for Barbossa.
Oh, shit. I don't know what he's going to do, man. I don't know what he's capable of.
Well, I mean, I don't know. What would you... If you were role-playing as him...
Yeah, I know. I don't want to think... I don't want to get in that mindset.
I mean, he's quite sexy.
Yeah, what, is he going to just start wanking in front of the Kodos?
It's your adventure.
His magic pirate wang. No, what he's going to... He's just going to say, what he's going to do is, using his pirate training, he's going to scream,
yeah,
"Darcy blows!"
Okay.
And then take evasive manoeuvres like a pirate would.
Yeah.
Which I imagine just involves, like, getting under the rigging and kind of, like, trying to climb something that's not there.
Yeah, okay.
But in a way that means he kind of eventually stumbles away from them.
Okay, sure. All right, I'm going to bet you roll three.
If it helps, I'm going to make cannon noises with my mouth.
Yes, that will help. That gives you a plus two.
Ha!
Okay, brilliant. Okay, all right. I can't believe that worked. You start making cannon noises as you're vaulted over this Kodos, and he goes, "Ah!" And it's like he panics as if he's hearing the sounds of war again. He goes, "Two arms, there she blows!" And he starts climbing an imaginary ladder, right? And his sword falls to the ground, and his hat is blown off by some imaginary wind.
Yeah.
And then he's not doing particularly well because he's still just sort of doing a mime in front of them.
Right.
And then, out of the little pack of Kodos, right, three gibbons running like that. He's summoned the gibbons.
Oh,
right,
my God.
And they come up and they pick him up, like, sort of like, you know, like in sort of comedy where someone gets knocked, like, and they fall down like a plank, then three things pick them up and they move them. Like, he's still climbing and then they just pick him up and he's still, like, imaginarily climbing and they just carry him to the side. It was like 4 feet to the side that he to go.
Right.
And he is out of the way of the Kodos. And then you see them just, this thunder pass, and you look back at Barbossa and the gibbons put him down, and he says, "Thank you, boys. Until next time." And they all go, and then they just...
Funky gibbon away.
Yeah, exactly. They all just run away, and he has never told you about this. Like,
wow.
He apparently can summon gibbons.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
awesome.
That's fucking
that's
cool,
the
right?
best yeah. power gibbon I've ever heard of.
Like, he's just great. And all is safe, except for Oliver, who has disappeared back towards Orville.
I'm so happy about
that. Right, so you turn...
Yeah, back to the zoo.
Back to the zoo. And as the dust settles, all the animals have passed you. One shape remains.
Uh-oh.
It's about 2 foot high.
All right.
And it's shaped sort of like a bollard, almost.
Like a bollard.
Yeah, no, actually, you know what it's shaped like? It's shaped like the gherkin. But if the gherkin had, like, two little bits that came off the side of it like this.
Or like flippers.
Yeah. You just see this shadow in the darkness.
Well, it's presumably a lonely, lost animal. I think it's a penguin from a distance, is what it sounds like. It sounds like a penguin to me, or some kind of water. Penguin. Is it a penguin?
It's a penguin.
Let's get closer. Let's go see that penguin. Okay. I love a good penguin.
You walk towards the penguin, and as the dust settles, you just see it's this penguin, and he's sat there, and he's... Wait. Can penguins smile? This one can. He's smiling at you.
They've got quite kind of placid faces.
And he's sort
faces.
Of yeah. aimlessly waddling around and all this. And it's like, he's obviously, he hasn't escaped with the rest of them or whatever, and he's waddling up to you.
Oh, sweet.
Okay. And as you near him,
yeah,
his smile sort of gets wider, and Barbossa, he's still waving to the gibbons in the distance, right? Barbossa turns around and goes, "Oh shit!" Like that.
What?
And then, and you.
What is it?
Around.
What's going on?
It's a penguin! Quick!
Hey, what do you mean?
And Barbossa starts running, like running just in the opposite direction.
What is
and
a penguin?
And you turn back, and this penguin just lifts up one flipper, and, like, glued to it is, like, a revolver.
Oh my god!
And he goes, "Rap." And he's, like, aimlessly firing off rounds. He's what spooked all the animals, right?
Oh, my God.
He's scared. And he's just bang, bang, bang. And he's waddling towards
what
you.
What the hell?
At some point soon, that flipper and bullet is going to... They're going to converge in your line.
Okay.
And that's going to hit you.
All right, what do we do?
Well, I don't know. I think you've...
I've got to blast the penguin. I can't blast the penguin.
You started an encounter,
look at
his
little, look at his little face.
Dun, 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 dun. There are your dice.
All right. So he's got it glued to his flipper.
He's got it glued to his flipper.
So there's no way I can, like, knock it off or anything. I mean, I would try, but it's not going to be worth
it. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. Right, you have the initiative because Barbossa forewarned you.
Barbossa
is running, but he's sort of running in a circle. Like, you know when people panic and they run in circles. Like, so he's still near the battle, okay?
Okay.
Right, so you have the initiative against the penguin with a gun.
Oh, man, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Oh, I know.
Right.
Street magic, right?
Sweet.
One of the oldest street magic tricks in the book, if the film Prestige is to be
believed,
is catching a bullet in your hand.
Fucking yes!
So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do that trick to make him think that I can catch bullets. I'm not going to actually try and catch one of these bullets, because the trick is you actually just have a bullet in your hand, you're like, ding, and you go, oh, I caught the bullet, ah. So I'm going to try and convince this penguin that I can catch bullets.
Okay, amazing. All right, roll for it.
Okay, what am I rolling?
Two dice. awesome. Okay, cool. All right, so as the penguin's flipper comes towards you,
yeah.
he fires, but it doesn't hit you. It sails past you because his aim is all off. Yeah. But you go ding like that, and you
catch it in my teeth.
Take a bullet out of him, and he's still smiling at you, and then you see his face drop.
Yeah.
And he looks at the revolver, and you're like, yeah, motherfucker.
Yeah,
and
did it, penguin.
The penguin sort of takes a couple of steps back, okay? Yeah. And you're like, fuck yeah, you've just pulled that off in a rectangular motion. So the penguin then stops.
Intimidate a penguin.
And then he just smiles again.
Oh.
And then he turns the revolver to Barbossa and just goes, like that. And Barbossa, who's running past at the time, just like
just
that.
Drops.
Ah! Like that, and he falls, and it's gone, like, it's knocked a bollock out.
Oh my god, why so much detail? But like, with that exact accuracy.
Exact accuracy. Oh my god. It's knocked a bollock out, but it's now been replaced by a bullet, right?
Barbossa will love that, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Exactly, and it's like a bollock-shaped bullet. I didn't tell you that, but like, like that. So he's bleeding quite badly.
Bollock Bill.
But at the same time, Barbossa has magics, like he's, you know, like Wolverine.
Yeah.
Barbossa, anything that happens to his
accelerated
wham
healing
or nettles, anything like that's an erogenous zone, can heal really quickly. So in between the bullet going in and forcing the bollock out the other side, both sides heal. Right?
Amazing.
So there's still a blood splatter, but ah, like that.
Why? Can I just ask you, why are you going into so much detail about the bollock injury?
I think that might come in handy.
Oh, I see.
Some point down the line. Oh, but anyway, I'm not saying it will. Anyway, so his bollock is gone. Okay, okay. Like, he's only got one left, but you know what? He was never.
He's fine.
And I think he has a wooden cock.
He's
so
dealt with worse.
Like, exactly. Anyway, so that's it. But Barbossa has been floored, and he's now sort of screaming in agony.
He'll be fine. I would worry about him.
But the penguin is, shall we say, momentarily distracted by his excellent
I'm going to now blast the penguin because he, cute as he is.
Yeah.
He needs to die.
Okay, are you blasting him with
what am I
going to
do?
Or are you going to use magic?
I'm going to do some fucking magic.
All right, mate.
Space. Right, so I've got my little my force push, so I can maybe knock the bullets out.
Yes, you fucking can.
But he's just going to keep shooting though, right?
So he is going to keep shooting. By the way, he, like the gun is, it doesn't seem to be running out of ammo. Like whoever glued it to him put a lot of bullets in it. Yeah, exactly.
All right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and use an ice spell.
Yeah.
Right, because oh no, but fuck it, I'll try it.
Okay, cool. You've never used an ice spell.
I'm going to try and freeze. Like his shoulder and arm in place so he can stop wildly swinging around.
Okay, cool. Oh, great. Okay, roll two, please.
Okay. This is to hit him.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
All right, okay. So you raise up your hand at this penguin just as he's turning back towards you, and you see this momentary, like, glimmer of fear in his eyes. And you spray, like the back of the Silver Surfer.
Shards of ice.
Shards of ice, like, sort of in a mist first that start to freeze as they come towards him. But they fall slightly short, okay?
Yeah.
And they form this sort of ice path up to his feet.
Nice.
And then you see him, his smile gets wider, and he just dives.
Like a penguin does. Oh, shit.
And he's flapping, and the gun's off to the side, and he's coming straight towards your legs. Right?
Oh, fuck.
But at this point, Barbossa is angry, okay? And he goes, fuck you, penguin! And Barbossa throws his cutlass, all right, and it just slices one of the penguins, like, his right flipper.
Oh, my God.
Like, it's gone straight through him. It hasn't cut, like, an artery or anything, but he's still got the gun hand. But the flipper flies off, and the flipper's like, and it goes into the air. And the penguin then is off course and misses you. He, like, slips past you. But the flipper hits you for one damage.
Oh.
So you are now on 19 HP.
Oh, shit.
Right, okay. But it's now your turn again.
Okay.
I think? No. Yes, it is. Yeah, it's your turn again.
Penguin's behind me.
Yep.
Presumably not on ice anymore.
Not on ice anymore. He's turned around and he's bleeding, but he's stood up again.
Can I just, like, bash him on the head and see what that does?
Go
just try
it.
And knock him out.
Go for it. Two dice. Awesome. Okay.
Blonk!
You hit him square in the head and it's like, doing like that. And that takes off some more of his HP. And, right, and he goes, donk, like that. But unfortunately, he just raises his gun to your stomach.
Uh-oh.
Like, he's clearly dizzy, but he raises it up, right, and fires. Like that.
Right in the gut.
Yeah, you've got a bullet, like, right through there. I'm showing Laurie on my own bare chest at the moment.
Yeah.
And it goes right through there, comes out the other side, and I'm sorry, you immediately lose 8
Oof.
HP. You are down to 11. You're almost bloodied.
Okay.
So, the bullet goes through, and you kind of clutch your hand to your chest. But as you do that, and this is, I'm going to teach you this immediate interrupt at the moment. As you clutch the bullet wound, you feel your hands go really hot and you cauterize the wound on either side of you. So you're not going to suffer ongoing bleeding damage. But you've managed, you've like sealed it around you, and you like look down at your hand and you didn't realize you can do that.
New ability.
And at this point, you realize that your hand is already charged with fire and you are standing over the penguin.
Oh, I just blast his little face off then.
Right, so, okay. All right.
just right in right between the eyes.
Three dice, because I think this might be... penguin.
I summon the fires of boom!
Sweet, okay.
Yeah, he's gone.
You place your hand over the penguin's face.
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, right? I'm going to clamp open his stupid little penguin face, right? Yeah. Like, just open his beak.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put my hand, I'm kind of holding it open and charge this fireball. Right? And as I do it, like, the penguin's eyes just go wide.
And light is starting to come out of creeks in him.
Power is so much that it's enough to lift the penguin up, and I lift him like over my head, the fireball charging whole time, and I just go.
Okay.
Completely, but it's not like he completely explodes.
Yeah.
All of his guts just fly out of his butt, just like everything inside that penguin gets like fried and thrown out the butt of that penguin immediately.
And, it's like, and you're holding his and like shell.
Got, yeah, it's just, yeah, because penguins have shells.
Yeah,
obviously.
Why not? Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a shell with like a bit of spinal column hanging off the end. It's all very charred. But I'm a little bit, but it's too much.
Yeah.
And I end up with like penguin skin, like, you know, baked to my
baked
hand.
Baked onto your hands and stuff.
And
like
I'm
that.
A little bit, and I'm kind of cringing when I do it, and I'm a little bit, oh.
Well, you have successfully killed the penguin.
Got carried away. Sorry, I assumed I killed it.
I mean, that was already a foregone conclusion. You only needed one more damage to kill
Amazing.
It. So you
what an encounter, Paddy. What imagination.
Oh my god. And then you turn round and Barbossa falls to his knees next to you and goes, "You killed a penguin. 'Tis told that only the truest hero can kill the penguin. With a gun."
Nice.
And he's like, "For centuries, me and my gibbons have been trying to kill penguins. Because their entrails are worth so much gold.
Oh, sorry.
But no one can strike one down but you. I don't know how."
Just fireballed his face open, mate.
Ah, that'll be it. it's fine now. Yeah, but he's unfortunately, the entrails are gone, but we now know that penguin entrails are worth quite a lot of money.
Nice one.
Because they can be used in salves to then kill penguins. Okay.
Anti-penguin.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay. I was going to say, do you want to loot him? But the only thing you can now get from this is like hide or like leather.
Well, I might as well pick it up.
Pick it up. Just get a couple of scraps
penguin
of leather.
Penguin
leather. Yeah, two penguin leather. Because penguin, penguins.
I guess it's valuable, right?
Two penguin leather. Yeah, it's a magic item.
Oh, I tell you what. Let's take it back to Armory, bloke.
I wonder maybe if he'll I have can something. Have some I wonder if penguin. That can go somewhere into a certain motley. So you turn back towards the zoo and you see the gates of the zoo are flung open and it's still slightly far off in the distance, but you begin to walk towards it, I assume?
Let's do it.
Right.
Let's head right up into that zoo.
Of course. But that is where we're going to end it.
No!
I'm so sorry.
No!
I know it's very exciting and the story's getting really good.
It's really good. And I just blasted a penguin into pieces.
You did just blast a penguin into pieces. I'm sorry, you didn't level up there.
That's all right.
But you're
still level 4.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to write down nearly level 5.
Nice and accurate XP system.
Really accurate XP system. That was fucking awesome.
Awesome.
Really well done.
Let's do it. Let's get in that zoo next week.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. See you guys later. I've just bought a brand new pangolin. He's really good at doing impressions. Listen to him do an impression of a pangolin. That's probably what they sound like. Pangolins.
Well, you say something first, mate. I can't do this all on my own.
I thought you had something planned.
No, well, it's the end of the podcast, and I've just kind of petered out a bit.
Yeah.
This is going to destroy one of the tricks of the trade a bit, listeners, but we've recorded this on two separate days.
Yeah.
And if you can tell which was which, then you are a very clever person. Because
then you win a magic hat.
First day, we finished first day by going to in Eden to see our friend Kate at the theatre, who has appeared on this podcast. A very fine production.
Her production is called The Sting, and it's on at Wilton's
and
Music Hall.
It's a 4-hour biopic about Sting.
Yeah, it's amazing.
She plays his lute and is really something else.
His lute?
Yeah. Because when he goes weird and plays loot. Not his like sack of loot.
I thought you meant like his epic steals.
No, but it's the end of we are both very hungover.
Then we got really hammered.
One bit of the podcast because we got very hammered.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you guess which one it is?
Can you tell what it is yet?
It might be the one we're very slow to start. But we're at the end. We made it, mate.
We're at the end. We're here. We're back in the chairs. The chairs that... Actually, you know what? I feel these chairs very much represent our personality.
I think they're swaying a lot more than they used to.
Yes. But like my chair is old wooden, robust, dreadful.
None of those things
your
are
your chair, flimsy, plastic, but can fold.
You are not...
Very much like your personality.
Yes. Foldable and plastic.
I wonder if the hangover will affect how much patience you have for me.
Probably will, because looks like I'm not laughing,
looks
mate.
Like you've run out already.
But, look, something I do have a lot of patience for is a certain little salmon.
Is a doctor. Because you...
What are you doing?
Something I have a lot of patience for. The doctor.
Oh, this is so rough.
Doctor Havelock's magic tricks.
This is so... Why did we decide to record today? I was trying to segue beautifully into the fact that we have a letter from a listener, Paddy.
Oh, sweet. Okay, no, you do that.
No,
you
okay,
that.
Fine.
You do that.
Listen, there's a listener called Rebecca Barnett who has appeared on a Postal Salmon section, I think, before.
Yeah.
You know, long-time listener, sure. Old friend of the pod.
Old pod
She's
friend.
Sent in a little letter. She said she couldn't find the Postal Salmon, and he hasn't turned up today, so I'm a little bit worried that he's been flambéed gently and served with a nice chili sauce.
Yeah.
But let's not think about
steeped
that. The delicious,
in soy.
The delicious taste of his flesh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Slowly roasted on an open fire.
Let's hope he's not dead, like all of our other companions.
Rebecca Barnett has been quite... I'm saying her full name every time.
Rebecca Barnett.
She's been quite greedy. She's had three questions at once.
Oh,
and
my
usually,
God.
And usually we wouldn't stoop to that kind of, you know...
Well, yeah, I mean...
Frippery and frappery.
It's crazy, but you know what? I think she's earned it.
Yeah?
Yep, she came to a Johnny and the Baptist gig.
Oh,
I
okay.
Met her there. She's brilliant.
What about my gigs?
And,
what about my gigs, Rebecca? Would you come in any of mine? I was playing a lot, right?
What were you playing?
I was playing an Oxford Circus Tube Station.
Right, and what, I was what playing, instrument?
Yeah? I was playing the butt heart.
Yeah, okay, and
which
what
is
song?
A special... No, it's the butt heart. It's what you do, right? It's really great.
Is it like one of those mouth...
No, you wish it were.
Oh, I do wish it were.
That would be understandable. No, it's when you pull the hairs in your bum hole really tight across the opening to your butt.
This is so awful.
And then you pluck them and you,
do
and
you
have
pluck
a little butt
them,
heart.
Or do you have like a little 1 foot high man?
I have... I actually have a special pair of like long...
Flapsworth.
No, like extendable arms. You know how there's one of those grabbers you get?
Oh, yeah, those claws.
Like, I have two of those, and I stand, like, on my head with my bum in the air, and I start, blink, 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 blink. But it's very atonal.
Okay.
Very avant-garde.
So were you busking?
I was busking.
And
so
how did that go?
It went really well, but Rebecca wasn't there.
Oh, okay, so you're livid,
crucially,
basically.
Crucially, I'm livid. But she has three questions. Pads, take us through question number one.
Okay. You sometimes, this is referring to us.
She said hi, and you
hi,
know, hello.
There's
you?
All the hello, and you know, love this, that, and the other. Number one, you sometimes make references to things that only people from Oxfordshire are likely to understand. For example, in episode 26. Sorry, I'm struggling
it's
reading.
The one after five.
Under six, under seven. You briefly mentioned Millet's Farm, and it's Maize Maze. Now, I do remember us talking about that.
We do.
Now, as any red-blooded Oxfordshire child knows, Millet's Farm is a wonderful attraction where tired-looking parents can take their children into a maze with a big flag on a pole so you don't get lost.
Flags on poles, by the way, in Millet's Farm. I agree. They are a new addition because we didn't have them back in
magic. Not back in the day.
Not back in my day. You went in that maze.
It
came
was flagless
out.
Or fuck off.
You came out dead or alive.
Yeah, exactly. But I have to wonder, will listeners in other countries, let alone other countries, have any idea what you were talking about?
I mean, the simple answer to that is no.
No.
It goes along with most of what we do on
this keen
podcast.
Eye there, because you spotted we from Oxfordshire.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God, I'm so hungover. It's probably quite clear from our accents. I'd like to think that people know that we're not Oxford students are hyper-intelligent and very, very wealthy.
I think people have got that impression pretty rapidly.
Yeah. Show me an Oxford student that plays the butt harp and I will give you £10. I don't have the money for that.
I also, this weekend, another time I got hungover in the last couple of days.
Good.
I went to a...
we don't have a problem.
No, it's fine.
Have a problem, mate.
Which is young and drinking. I went to my mate Miriam's for a party, who is a teacher up in Tottenham. She's friends with lots of... She went to Oxford and is also from... Grew up with us.
Yeah.
But she went to uni in Oxford and has lots of Oxford friends. And a number of conversations you have with people from Oxford, and we were talking about the PT at one point, and I was like,
PT,
you weren't in Oxford, were you? And I was like,
no.
And it's your really terrible moment. It's like, no, I just grew up around there. I was one of the guys who really hated the fact that it was full of Oxford students.
Yeah, exactly. And when the Oxford students ask you if you're from Oxford,
yeah,
and you go no, they go, oh, are you from Brooks?
He's like, no,
I'm not from Brooks either. I'm not like you. You're awful consistently. I'm dreadful usually.
To be fair to people at that point, they were largely very lovely, all the people.
Well, I'm sure that's great. But yeah,
Miriam, on the other hand, dick.
Yeah, exactly. Well, well spotted on that. But like, there's a follow-up to that
yes.
is immediately... This is similar to the first question. Don't be freaked out or anything, but I'm pretty sure I know that one or both of you lived in Abingdon, mostly because of Laurie's bus story about the rude woman. I thought this was a pretty big coincidence because I live in Abingdon. I wonder if I'm your only fan from your maybe hometown.
God.
Holy shit.
How did you find out?
Well,
I think we might have just said the name of Abingdon.
We probably did, quite a lot.
That is crazy. Rebecca, what are your favourite things about Abingdon? Have you ever been to, what was that nightclub called?
It was Stretton's.
Stretton's.
God awful God. It was one of those nightclubs.
I never went.
Only existed. It was up from like a home hardware shop. You know, one of those places that sells like duvet covers.
Yeah, exactly. And hammers.
Statues of spaniels.
Oh, yeah, that kind of was surprisingly cheap. Yeah. Because they're probably not even made out of gravel. No. But yeah. I know what you mean.
And above it, there was like a really rickety old staircase. There was this absolutely disgusting nightclub that was full of all the squaddies from the army base down the road. Oh, never go there. Never go to Abingdon. Never go to Stratton's.
So Abingdon is a dreadful place. It's a redeeming feature in the olden times.
It's us three from there, apparently.
I used to remember it used to smell of breweries. It used to smell of hops. Well,
yeah, because they had them one of the Moreland breweries.
So, like, you'd walk out and just hit by this amazing smell.
That was also because we spent most of our time at school in the pub at lunchtime.
Yeah, exactly. Having a lovely time.
It might just have been your beer soaked trousers.
All of the breweries have shut down now, as of all of the industry around Abingdon. That's quite a sad point. But yes, well noted. Laurie actually is from Abingdon. We both went to school there. Mm-hmm. I'm not, but I mean, maybe you can guess where I'm from.
If you guess where Paddy's from, I think you get, again, I think we've mentioned it, but if you guess, you get a Pod Shambles dollar.
Yeah, exactly. That is. Oh, yeah, redeemable. No, we'll make up what that is at the time.
One whoopee fun time. Whoopee fun time.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah, if you can guess where I'm from, that's great. But that's wonderful. Like, we've got, that's like harking back to something that we don't probably usually talk about.
Well, no, because it's a bit, I don't know, is it the kind of thing people want to hear about? I'm not sure.
Well, like being at school. Like,
yeah, in our school days, it wasn't really like, you know, just William, you know, Brown, how are you doing? It was quite, you know, I mean, school days are school days. You know, oh, yes, of course. I remember when Binky got into the cupboard and...
Yeah, exactly.
And took the eraser and popped it up her nose.
There
and
were had things
a,
like
a bit of a powder.
Yeah, exactly. There were things like that, though. We definitely, like... I personally...
What's your favourite story, then, from when we were...
From school?
Yeah.
Let me think. Okay, all right. I've got a couple of ones that really stick out. Is this going to sound quite soppy? But the drama department at Abingdon was fucking brilliant, and they're the people who got me to do comedy.
It's
and
too nice
the
story
who got me to, No, it gets worse. And they're the people who got me into all this kind of thing. It is very redeeming at the end. And there was in particular this one teacher who really looked after me. He was absolutely brilliant. And anyway, he helped me out through the whole of school, and then at the end of school we had muck up day.
Oh, this is brilliant.
Which is this sort of like kind of dreadful tradition.
No, they do it. They do it at a lot of schools.
Yeah. But like
basically before you go away to revise for A levels, or even go away on holiday if you're lucky enough.
Yeah.
The last day of school, all the sick formers muck the school.
You're allowed to do whatever. There's normally a theme, and you can come in and just do whatever you want. And we took it too far.
Well, it was just
not us in particular, but it was bad, so thereby it got worse.
We had a vague, do you remember, there was a vague rodeo and Wild West theme. So someone had a parent who had access to a large amount of hay.
Yeah, of course,
so
as
this,
you do.
This truck full of hay bales turned up, like, a bit late for it to be
and they were just
annoying.
Sort of dumped on
we
a field.
Put them on the field.
And everyone sat on them.
And we all had to dress in kind of cowboys ninja stuff, and there was a bucking bronco that appeared on upper field.
Oh, yeah.
Which quite amused. Did have an alternative cover for the actual bull,
which was a wang.
Which, you know, we went to an all-boys school. That was the height of hilarity.
Exactly.
And we had water pistols and all that kind of thing.
But, yeah, it got out of hand.
Special terrorist cell.
Yeah, exactly. Special terrorist cell. There was, we broke into, through the help of one of the security guards, we broke into the master's common room, which, sounds so private.
Staff
school.
Room.
It
the
is,
staff
the staff room.
Room.
And basically, we got in there, and it all got a bit silly, and we ended up destroying everything and getting paint everywhere, and everyone was in boiler suits and like Slipknot masks.
Is that what they're called, Slipknot masks?
Like a proper Slipknot mask, except me, because I hadn't bought either of those things, whereas everyone else had.
And that is a typical Jervis. That's like you turning up to sport.
I was like, hey, hello, I'll come in. And there was a guy there who was a lovely old mate of ours who was a photographer, and he was taking pictures of everything so that we'd have all these amazing memories. And then the next day, it turns out he left his camera in the now destroyed inside of the school.
I mean, to be fair, that is the worst crime ever.
Yeah, exactly.
It's and just, like, and all you want to do is get evidence, a bit of attention.
Pictorial evidence. And then I was called up the next day along with two other boys, who were the only three boys who you could identify on the film. Because everyone else... And to be fair,
even if you did have a face mask on, they would have noticed your incredibly shaped butt already.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I have the definition
chunky,
of Hercules.
Square ass. Yes,
exactly.
Out the back.
Yeah, real cube out of the back.
Oh, my God, that cubey ass. It has to be Jervis.
Yeah, exactly. So they immediately noticed me and two other boys. And we got called in, and they said, look, okay, you are to come into school the day after your A-levels finish, when you have officially left school, and for a week you are going to redecorate, sand down, paint the entire school. And we went, okay.
Not the entire school.
Well, yeah, as much as you could fucking do in a week of like 9 hours a day or whatever they wanted us to do. And they said, we'll supply paint and sandpaper and all this crap. Anyway, after A-levels finish, I show up at 8 a.m. on the first day with these two other boys who, let me just say, I did not get on with. And
let's just say they were choice pricks.
And we were handed all of our shit. And also, I didn't do that much wrong. I'm going to put that out there
don't,
now.
Don't get that one. That is the excuse we all used at school. Yeah. But I didn't even do much. Like,
I didn't even do much of it. But like, anyway, and he said, right, get to work. And it was like, oh, I'm meant to be an adult now. And I've left school. And I'm meant to be having fun and getting a job and doing things. And then 5 minutes after I started, there's a knock on the door.
Hello?
I don't know who's answering the door. And anyway, our head of year went and opened the door, and it was my drama teacher. And he said, hello, do you mind if I have a word? And they went, oh, yeah, of course. And they went into his office, and 3 minutes later, they came out, and he said, go on, come with me. And he said, drop all your stuff, come on, come with me. And so I followed my drama teacher out of the room, sort of looking back at our head of year, who would face like fucking thunder. And I was like, bye. And then we left, and we got out of earshot of the building, and I said, where are we going? And he said, well, I told him that you and I are writing a play together, and right. We have our workshop and rehearsals starting this week, and it's every day from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m., and I really need you for that.
Lucky
and I
you.
Said, what? And he was like, so, yeah, you're off the hook. And I was like, what? And so he then took me, he bought me breakfast. We had like a 3.5 hour breakfast, and we chatted about, like, now that I've left school and all this. And then we went and got fucking slammed. It was so good. And he got
that is responsible hands-on teaching.
But that was brilliant. And he's remained one of my friends to this day. I keep on hesitating naming his name just in case.
Probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
He is like, quite, I think it's the kind of thing that he would not mind being told. But
no.
Maybe we shouldn't broadcast.
But, no, exactly.
But he is a fantastic man.
What an absolute guy. Like, that was one of the most heartwarming stories of my entire school career. One of my
enduring memories of him is when I was in sick form. You were in this as well. I joined the film unit, which was the kind of the final bastion of the real geeky core. There was one, and like, you know, all of our very good mates did it. Ben and Matt and Tom and all those. And you know, you got to spend your entire Wednesday afternoon sitting in a film studio making a film about God knows what. We made one about an old house that was then used in the filming of St. Trinian's 2. There's a factoid
for
you.
Bloody go. I remember one particular time that you and I had an enormous amount of fun at school, shall we say.
What's the time we licked toads all afternoon?
And right? I am going to name this teacher because I don't like him, and it's fine. Right? But like, well, our house room was above the maths department, and there was this old teacher called Mr.
God.
English, who was a real...
Just real nasty.
He did not like anyone under 60.
You have those teachers who you know revel in giving out punishments. You think at the time, I don't know, you're very much brought up at the time to think that you're being unreasonable. And you're like, you know, of course they wouldn't want that.
Yeah.
And then when you get to an adult, you realise, no, some of those guys were just evil.
I've come full circle, and like 99% of the teachers that I didn't like, I realised that they were just grown-ups doing
a job.
And I've met half a dozen of them since then and been like, actually, you're fucking brilliant.
And I think we were difficult,
you know, all this. But there was this one, Mr. English, and he was so nasty, just hated children. And if you made a squeak in the house room, like during lesson time or like study period or something like that, when you were allowed to just sit there and revise or whatever.
Yeah, it's where we hung out.
That was where we sat. You would hear him charge up the stairs, and he'd come in and he'd like fucking frothing at the mouth and like blood in the eyes, and he'd be like, who's doing, you know, all this.
Wang akimbo.
And he'd confiscate things left and right. He'd take people's like musical instruments, and he'd take, like, if you had a ball or like if one of you brought in like a phone or something like that, it's all gone the second someone's made a noise. And so one day we decided, he just bollocked all of us, and we were not doing anything. It was just, we were all sat there quietly, and we thought, okay, well, we got to do something about this. So this is quite mean in retrospect, I'm thinking about it now.
There was
an army group.
We had a thing called the Combined Cadet Force.
That's exactly.
I'm sure you guys have it.
It's quite a military school. But
a lot, of old schools, and it's, you know, it's just they go and they train with the army, and they have teachers who, you know, ex officers and stuff.
Yeah, they
prepare you.
But
lots of schools do that. Lots of schools do the Air Force ones. More popular.
It's either if you want to go into the army, or it's just to discipline and something to keep you fit.
And we were not in it.
Shall we say?
I did conservation instead.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
that was great. Just went chopped down trees.
Well, cleaned up parks.
We just went and sat along the River Rock and had a fag.
Exactly. It was lovely. But like, anyway, there was this cadet force, and there was a boy who had his cadet uniform in school that he was going to use later.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we did is we got the trousers of the cadet's uniform. Do you remember this?
I do remember.
Got the trousers, and we filled them with newspaper.
Yeah.
whole way up, and to the bottom of them we attached the army boots so that like they looked like feet, and we filled that with newspaper and we attached them on the bottom, and then we attached that to like a rope or something.
I can't remember. Was
it
even
was like
there?
Two jumpers tied to the top of it. And anyway,
it was incredibly ingenious. It was the kind of thinking they want in the army.
We started, yeah, exactly. We started stamping on the floor and causing a commotion and making it sound like there was a big row. Mm. And then we screamed and threw the jumpers holding the legs out of the window, so the feet hit his window and the legs were dangling. We
these
were
massive
shaking
army
it.
Boots.
Massive
on the
army
of.
Boots with these legs, and we're at the top going, "Oh my god, someone do something!" All that, and then he obviously in the room below panics, and he opens his window and he's like, "Oh my god, boy! Oh my god!" And he like grabs the legs. And, "I've got you!" And we're like, "Oh my god, you've got me! What am I?" And then we dropped it. He immediately notices what's going on, and you just hear him run up the stairs, and us all evidence destroyed immediately. Windows shut, everyone back at their desks.
Wangs out.
Him coming in and like screaming at all of us, like, "This is the most, I've got a room full of students downstairs who've watched all of this happen, and how could all this?" And we all just denied it, just point blank. But then he complained to our head of year, do you remember this? And all of us, a big group of about 10 of us, got pulled up before the head of year, who was quite a reasonable bloke.
He was.
And he said, "Tell me what happened." And we told him the full story as it went, and he said, "That is very nasty, and you should not have done that. Now, I'm not going to punish any of you, because that is genuinely one of the most inventive, creative, and brilliant things students at this school have ever done."
I think he said it with a smile on his face.
Absolutely hilarious. And he was like, "So if Mr. English asks, you're all in detention, but you are not all in detention. Just don't do it again, but that is fucking great." And that was it, and we all got let off. I thought it was lovely. So there you go, Rebecca. There's a couple of stories from Oxfordshire and Abingdon. Just from school.
I mean, stories about Oxfordshire are a lot kind of more bleak. It's just where I walk my dog, and then maybe the dog got lost. That's the extent of a story in Oxford. It's very boring and flat, fundamentally.
I've got a lot of good stories about Oxford, but they're for another time.
They are for another time.
But anyway, sorry, we should finish her email. I know we've got really off track, but anyway, let's finish. She's only got one question left.
Question three.
Why don't you read this one?
This is number of a three.
Okay.
Though a matter unrelated to either Shambles nor Pods, I will be changing my name through deed poll soon. I hope you're choosing a killer name.
Oh, amazing.
Like, you know, Shark Fin. Explosion Pants. I was listening to, what was the guy, Happy Collapsible Spanners? That's the great one.
Reversible Spanners.
I was listening to an old episode, I think it was episode 4, Old Timey Soldier Story Time. But I'm not really sure. During the episode, you said that anyone who changes their middle name to Shambles can be featured on the podcast. Does this offer still stand, and do you recommend making such a massive change just because I'm fond of the babbling of two internet men? Obviously yes, but
I'm afraid to tell you that that was a one-time only offer.
Is that how you're getting out of
that? I don't want to be held responsible for something like this. It is a very funny idea, and you know what, if we get big enough, maybe someone will do it and we will have to just deal with
it. We will.
But that was a one-time only offer that was only valid for the hour in which we recorded, so even by the time the episode came
out,
if someone did that on episode 5, by the way, I'm sorry, because it's run out, it's expired.
So what, hang on, the only people who could have possibly known that competition was on during the time when it was actually valid are like me and you, weird guy listens outside the window, and Zach.
Yeah, and that's why Zach got on the podcast.
Oh yeah, of course, because he's now Shambles Cole.
Yeah, he changed it to Cole, and we took pity on, because you know Zach really looks up to us.
He really wishes.
He's like a son to me.
Despite him being older.
No, he's younger than me.
Because you are like a child to me.
I gave birth to him in utero.
What do you mean in utero?
I don't know.
That means in your uterus. So that means you gave birth to him in your uterus, which means he didn't.
No, in my uterus when I was in a uterus.
You birthed him into your. Oh my, this is horrible.
Yeah, double utero.
No.
Double utero.
That didn't happen.
No, but anyway, he really looks up to us. And, you know, like, I feel like we've really shaped Zach's life with that change as well. And then we let him on the podcast.
Okay.
And, you know, he got to say his thing. And,
he got to talk about his worm.
And, like, we never mention his little, you know, duck tail that he's got. His little
horrible tufty bum.
Tufty bottom.
Rebecca, look, you could do that, and that wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't mind if you changed your name to Shambles.
I can't believe we're having this conversation.
We did
ask for it, in fairness.
To be fair, we did explicitly say, "Can you please do this and tell us about it?"
And it's, but like, I wonder if someone did that, is that the kind of thing where someone says, "Oh, what's your full name?" Let's say not in an official capacity, because on a passport they just have to accept it or whatever. But if someone says, "Oh, what's your middle name?" and you say, "Oh, it's Shambles," they'll go, "Oh, that's weird. What's the story behind that?" And if you then go,
viral marketing.
There are these two dicks who do a podcast and some YouTube videos.
Yeah, viral marketing.
And they told me to do it. Is that viral marketing?
Yeah, that's exactly viral marketing.
Synergy.
It's actually
business synergy.
No, but it's, you know, it's whenever that person ever talks to anyone, they all then have to explain what their middle name is, and they'll hear about us.
Oh my God,
Don't do it.
But if we did get on this, what we need to do, right, what we need to do is buy deedpoll.com, yeah, whatever it is, you know, deedpoll, change
it. Number one, it's you have to do it through, like, you know, the law courts.
Yes, yeah, so we just get an inside man. Get an inside man, right? Yeah, get an inside man, right? And we charge, what is it, like £30 to change your names? £35 on Deedpoll? I think it's £35. I could be wrong.
Don't sound so assured on that.
I'm pretty certain on that. Anyway.
That's an endorsement.
No, check it out. So we get half the shares in that company, so we get £17.
No, again, it's the British legal system. You can't buy shares.
No, totally cool. It's totally cool.
No, it's
just
not.
Privatise it. Yeah, that's what they all seem to be doing.
Get on with it.
And then vertical integration. We tell everyone to change their name to Shambles. Everyone does it. We get half the profits. Vertical integration.
What does that mean?
I learned that from 30 Rock. It's what Alec Baldwin's character is always talking about, whereby you buy into two markets.
Yeah, that's not what you did there, though.
No, I didn't. But I think the point still stands. We could start making a shit ton of money.
No, you know what's happened now?
What?
Is I've got far too hungover to deal with
my shit.
No. Change it.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Don't.
We'll give you a cut of the profits.
Don't do it. Just don't do it. I need to finish that. But look, the challenge doesn't stand anymore. So even if you did do it, it is not.
Well, hang on.
It's nothing to do with us.
If we get rid of that challenge, then let's give them a new challenge. Right?
Oh, that's a lovely idea.
Yeah, is that something we should do? This can actually extend beyond the end of this podcast recording.
Yeah,
well,
now that we're actually saying it explicitly.
This is valid until the next podcast gets recorded.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
What's it going to be?
I don't know. Well, okay.
Let's finish the email.
In closing, please bring Engine Room Phil back on the podcast because I like Hoz's voice very much. That is a spelling mistake.
No, but it's quite a cunning pun, weirdly, because it's that Hoz voice. Because it's horse. It's a very small horse.
Well, I haven't done his voice in ages,
I know.
Actually.
How does that feel?
Hungover, not good, man. Not good.
But maybe, right, in lieu of Phil.
Right.
Oh mate, this is perfect, right?
Have you got an idea?
Number one.
You're doing your ideas face.
Fun for the listeners.
Yeah.
Number two.
Free for all.
Less work for us.
Oh, number three.
No, that's it.
No,
just
big puddings. Big puddings.
There's no big puddings.
Send in a pudding. That is the challenge.
Don't jump the challenge, then.
Okay, sorry. No, you do your idea. Your idea's better.
Why don't we get them to come up with a character for Choose Your Own Adventure so that we don't have to spend ages fucking working them out and taking, you know, lots of mind-altering substances to let us think up these ridiculous things. Clearly how they come up. No, get them to think of a character to Choose Your Adventure, and we will put them in. We will put the best one in the next episode of Choose Your Own Adventure.
So that's a fucking great idea. Let's set this challenge in stone.
Okay.
This week's Shamble Challenge, should we call it Shamble Challenge?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do your bugler, right? And I'm the challenger.
Just get on with it, mate.
This week's, right, is, okay, you have to come up with a character for Choose Your Own Adventure.
Yeah.
You have to come up with their name.
Yeah.
What they are, like goblin or elf or whatever.
Walking butt.
And one distinguishing feature.
Yes, nice.
And and here we go. And this, for extra brownie points, okay, that distinguishing feature can be an audio clip of what their voice should sound like and, like, what their scansion is and how they like, use their inflection and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then one of us will try and replicate that voice if it isn't shit.
Okay.
Although most of my voices are shit.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant if the suggested voice was shit.
Oh, no. I mean, no. That's what I do mean. But it'll still probably be wildly over quality.
Okay, you know, I like that.
What
do
we
it.
Ask for.
You
can tweet it or email us.
Remember, you can tweet it at podshambles.
Yeah,
that's
or
the
email podshambles@gmail.com. Or put it on our Reddit.
Yeah, which is just /r/podshambles.
Or you
could
comment it on our YouTube videos that you might not yet have watched.
But
you
should watch them. Oh, I tell you what, there's a really exciting couple of new ones. Number one, Speedrunners is a game we had some fun with.
Speedrunners!
Check that out for some hijinks. Yeah, do that. Rebecca, you're allowed to too. Don't worry, you can email in consecutive weeks.
Yeah, you can email in consecutive weeks. And I hope you guys can find the postal stand and send that in. That's awesome. And then I promise you, the best one will get to be in Choose Your Own Adventure.
You will be set in stone in the fine...
And it won't be crowbarred at all.
No, it won't be crowbarred.
It'll be an integral part of the plot, won't it?
The thing is, though, we can blame that on them, because if they have to make it so it's not crowbarred into the plot.
If it's shit,
their fault.
It's their fault. It's their fault.
And this is... Do you hear this? That's me wiping my hands of this.
Of this blood.
Done.
I'm just going to wash the entrails from my fingers.
It's just...
when I've been digging around.
I'm just
going
to use some loo roll to mop up the deposits.
Oh, pass me the sponge. Got to get rid of the shit on my face.
The responsibility shit.
The responsibility shit.
And on that note...
It is a goodbye from both of us. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
Love you individually and, you know, sexually.
Yes! And I hope some of you have noticed that we are now on Acast. Welcome to all of our new Acast listeners.
Whoa. Don't flip your shit out too much, guys. It's going to get
And
handy.
Hey, keep watching the skies, because you know what?
What?
Them's ducks are coming home.
Oh, quack. Ooh, can I get a sound check?
Do you want more?
Or tell me if I can touch Brooklyn your balls. All of our rap songs end up being about tasty testicles in the end. Very tasty testicles. Paddy, I'm going to whisper for you. No, that's the noise of a hangover right there.
Oh, that really is.
It's going to be that and then a butt noise later on. If you're lucky, listeners, a nice loud pop.
Oh my God. I'm so hungover.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.